Well, tonight we're going to have you turn once again to Romans chapter 1. And if you want to go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 1 also. Romans chapter 1 and Galatians chapter 1. And I'm going to have you turn to some other places. These will be the two main places that we'll be. We'll turn to some other places, but try to keep your place here and Galatians, and I'll let you know when you can let go of those two places, okay, when we turn into the other place. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 5. He's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel. It says here, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to faith among all nations for His name's sake there. And verse 6, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. One of Paul's purposes in writing was to affirm the gospel of Jesus Christ and his confidence in the gospel of Christ. And last time we began looking at how Paul's confidence was made real by the performance of the gospel, and that is by what the gospel did in his life and does in the lives of others, including our lives. And we just dealt with just one point last week. The gospel is the basis of our conversion. And we saw how the gospel was the basis of Paul's conversion, saw his testimony in three different places. And he was confronted personally by the risen Lord. But we were also confronted by the risen Lord. Amen. We were saved when the Lord stirred our hearts. And the gospel is the basis of not only the Roman believer's conversion, but also the basis of every conversion. If you are saved by God's grace, you got saved by the gospel. There's no other way. Now tonight we want to take a look at the gospel as the basis of our calling. Not only the basis of our conversion, but the basis of our calling. And we want to first look at the Apostle Paul. It was the basis of Paul's specific calling as an apostle. That's what he is saying there as he speaks of by whom we have received grace and apostleship. And that apostleship was for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, for Jesus' name. We know that Paul was called specifically to the Gentiles. Now he would begin speaking to the Jews. He was Jew first and also to the Greek. But the Lord specifically called him to make the gospel known among the Gentiles. And he was an apostle. Now understand that we have more scriptural information on Paul than any other person in Scripture other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We got a lot about the Apostle Paul. No person apart from Jesus himself shaped the history of Christianity like the Apostle Paul did either. I mean, even before he got saved, he was shaping Christianity. How was that? Well, even before he was a believer, his actions were significant. His persecutions of Christians following Stephen's death got the church started in obeying the Great Commission, got them to move out away from Jerusalem. They had to move out of the areas where the persecution was, and as they moved in those different areas, they preached the gospel, and folks would get saved. So, you know, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth, they were scattered abroad, weren't they, where they were starting to scatter. Paul's personal encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road, we know it changed his life tremendously. And I described it as doing a 180, but Paul, you know, something about Paul is he never lost his fierce intensity. He was very intense, very fierce in going against Christians before he got saved. And he put at least as much energy, if not more, working for the cause of Christ as he did against the cause of Christ before he was saved. Don't you think? I mean, we don't see anybody that had put in the effort like Paul did. There were many who questioned whether the Apostle Paul was truly an apostle, though, in the same sense that the other apostles who were Christ's disciples when he went to the cross. But Paul was an apostle. There are two different senses of the word apostle in Scripture. just as there are two different senses of the word deacon. The word translated deacon simply means servant. The word translated apostle simply means sent one, or one that is sent. And so in the simplest sense of both of these words, all believers are apostles and deacons. Amen. I mean, we're sent by Christ and we're to be servants of Christ. Now, we don't go around calling ourselves apostles or deacons, but we are servants and we are sent by the Lord. But that doesn't mean that we are called to be in or hold the office of either an apostle or a deacon. Those are offices that were given. The apostles, office of an apostle was early on in the church, and we'll talk about why it ceased later, but it did cease. There are no apostles today. I know there's a lot of guys that are out there to call themselves apostles. They're not apostles in the same sense as what we're talking that the Apostle Paul was, or that any of the disciples were. They are apostles in that simple sense of their sent. Okay, they're sent. Apostle, in the strictest sense of the word, means that one that received a specific calling to hold or be in the office of an apostle. In the same manner as the 11 remaining disciples of Christ, and that was a specific calling from Christ. And since the Apostle Paul was not part of the 12 original disciples, and part of the 11 that was left over after Judas betrayed the Lord and took his own life, many questioned his calling and right to claim the office. We know that the book of Acts shows that there in the upper room while they were waiting on the coming of the Holy Spirit, that the disciples got together and figured they would choose one that was with them to fill Judas's place, and they chose Matthias. Quite personally, I don't know that the Lord was in that. I mean, I know Matthias was a disciple, but he did not receive the call to be an apostle from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one of the things that makes for an apostle. You had to receive the calling from the Lord Jesus himself. And the Apostle Paul did, which makes him, I think, the 12th apostle that we see there in the book of Acts and the early church. Now, since the Apostle Paul was not part of the 11 left over, many questioned his calling and right to claim the office, and so the Apostle Paul found it necessary to defend his apostleship at times. And one of those places where he defends it is in the book of Galatians. I'll have you look there in Galatians chapter number 1. And we're going to take a look at the first two verses here, and we'll look at some other verses here in just a minute in Galatians 1. But in Galatians 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, Paul, an apostle, and notice his qualifying factors here. He says, not of men, neither by man. Now, I think that he might have been referring to Matthias there, that was chosen by the other apostles. They weren't chosen by Christ. I mean, he wasn't chosen by Christ. He was chosen by the disciples or the other apostles. It says, but by Jesus Christ here. Not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So he had a bunch of brethren that were there. We see that Paul identified himself as an apostle, and understand that he is identifying himself here as an apostle in that strictest sense that we're talking about of having been called to the office of an apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word apostle and the way that Paul is speaking referred to that person called into the office and sent forth on a very special commission, and in whom God authenticated his message through signed gifts. Now, hold your place in Galatians. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 2. So what do you mean that they were authenticated through the sign gifts? The apostles had the ability to do sign gifts. And that was before the Word of God was complete. It was necessary if somebody comes saying, "Hey, I'm an apostle, and you know this is what the Lord has given me to give you," and you give them that. Well, they didn't know if you were telling them your own personal preferences or whether it was, in fact, what the Lord told you to say. Look at Hebrews 2, verse number, let's take a look at verse number 1. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression, and the disobedience received a just recompense of reward," notice verse 3 and 4 now, "how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord?" Remember, before the Lord went to the cross, he spoke about what the gospel was going to be, how he's going to die for sin, if he's going to be buried, he's going to be raised again the third day. And after he arose on the third day, he still continued to talk about that, and he sent and commissioned his disciples, who were the apostles, to do the same thing. So it began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Those are the apostles. God also bearing them witness. Who? Bore who witness? The apostles. Both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now, this makes a difference, because when one who was in the office of an apostle spoke, it was just like getting a word straight from God. I mean, it just was. And if the apostle Paul was not in the office of an apostle, think about it, then his writings were just writings of man and did not have the force of the Word of God. But he was an apostle. Now, how many books would that affect? That would affect 14 books of the New Testament if we attribute the book of Hebrews to Paul, which I personally do. So, 14 books. Now, understand that men today cannot be apostles in this strictest sense of being in the office of one for two reasons. There are two reasons here. First of all, an apostle had to be specifically selected and called by Jesus, who gave him his authority. And then number two, an apostle had to literally see the risen Christ, who authenticated his unique role. And though God still calls men into the ministry today, there are no more apostles in the sense of an apostle in the early church, and no more sign gifts are needed, because we have our authority, the completed Word of God, which is our final authority. There is no continuing revelation. There is no need for the sign gifts. There are no need for the apostles. The need for and purpose of the office of an apostle has ended, and we find the purpose that they had in Ephesians, and I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians 2, verse number 18. Ephesians 2, verse 18 says, "For through him, through Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." He's talking both Jew and Gentile, both have access by the Holy Spirit unto the Father. "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners," these Ephesus Gentiles, "but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." And notice verse 20 especially. "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Now let's pause here for just a minute. The apostles and the prophets in the early church were for the purpose of completing the Word of God. They were also the foundation upon, they set the foundation upon which the church began. So they were foundational in nature. Their purpose was foundational. Once the foundation was laid and these folks began to be added on top of the foundation, there it says in verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, and whom ye are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, when you build a building, the foundation is the first thing to go in. Now, it's not true that once you get the foundation in that you continue to add to the foundation once you start building the building. You build the building, but the foundation, once the foundation is laid and once you have that completed, which I believe that ended with the completion of the New Testament. When New Testament was completed, we had the completed Word of God, we have the authoritative Word of God in its entirety now. No longer needed is the office of apostle or prophet. Now, pastors that do tell forth the Word of God, but I'm not given the ability to foretell what's going to happen. I can foretell, very important difference, but not foretell, and the prophets could foretell. So true ministry is still of God, and therefore a call to the ministry must come from God. God alone can give a true call and commission to the ministry. And now, note that Paul did not argue with his critics. He just declared and that God had called and appointed him to the ministry and office as an apostle. Let's go back to Galatians chapter number 1, okay, and take a look at one more thing here. There in verse number 1, he just declares Paul an apostle. He does that. Then look down in verse number 15. And Paul declares here that his call and ministry were not of men, neither by man. When you think not of men, in other words, men were not the source of his call and ministry. His call had not come from man. And when it says neither by man, in other words, no man had qualified or made him fit for the ministry, he was not made a minister by man. He was made a minister by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15. He says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, when did that take place? Damascus Road. We read about that last week. It's at three different places. It talked about how the Lord Jesus Christ gave him his commission of what he was to do. And he says in verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. He says, then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days, but other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. He declares that his call and ministry were by Jesus Christ and God the Father. And listen, there's no higher authority than that. No higher authority. Paul's authority, although called into question by the Judaizers, was recognized by the brethren who were with him. The brethren recognized God's call upon his life. They may not have immediately recognized it. Immediately they were scared of him, because he had been a persecutor of Christians, and we know that. But Paul was a preacher, called of God. He was an apostle, called of God. And Paul's gospel that he preached, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, was received by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he says that there in Galatians 1, and verse number 11 and 12. Back up there to verse number 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he mentions also in 1 Corinthians 15, where he declares what the gospel is, that he received it. He's given it just like he received it. How Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried and was raised again the third day according to the Scripture. Now, look at what else Paul says about his calling and our calling in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at, you can turn Galatians loose now. We're done there. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And of course, he's talking to the young preacher Timothy, pastor at the church at Ephesus. And we see here in 2 Timothy 1, look at verse number 7. He says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Now notice verse 9. "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So, have a calling to apostleship, but we also, Paul had the calling to apostleship, but he had a calling that was according to God's purpose. We all have a calling in our lives which is according to God's purpose and grace, don't we? We do, as believers. Look at verse number 10. He says, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So the Apostle Paul said that his calling and our calling is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go back to the book of Romans and let's take a look at some things here. The gospel is the basis of our calling is what we're taking a look at there in verse number 5, and it was the basis of Paul's calling as an apostle. But I want us to see that it is the basis of the calling of all believers, including those in the Roman church and us. Look again at verse number 5 and 6. He said, "By whom we have received grace and apostleship," he's looking at himself, "for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called." There's that word, the called of Jesus Christ. Now, and he says again in verse number 7, he says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God," and he uses that word called again, called to be saints. Paul shares with them in this epistle about their calling, and how it finds its basis in the gospel. Yes, we're called to salvation. We know that, don't we? We're called to salvation. We were invited to the gospel. We responded to the gospel in our lives. And we were saved by God's grace. But that calling is not just to save us from our sin. Okay? It's for us to have God's purpose in our life. And we're going to see that here in just a minute. We're called to salvation in the gospel, but we're called to a relationship in Christ, and with Christ by the gospel. We are called to be saints. That word saints means holy, right? Saints means holy. There in verse 7. And that call is a twofold call. I want you to think about called to be saints. One call is positional, right? When we came to Christ, we were made holy in and through the gospel. Christ made us holy. So we were made holy positionally. But the other call is a practical call. And that is that we are called to live what we are. We are holy. We're called to live holy. We're called to live holy by the power of the gospel. Have you turned to another place? Well, I'll tell you what. I'm just going to refer to it, okay? And it's in 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16. You know, Peter preached there about, he's in, be holy because he's holy. He's holy. We're to be holy because he's holy. He's called us to holiness. And we're called also according to his purpose. And when he gets later on in the book, he mentions that to the Roman believers. Romans 8 and verse 28, one of my favorite verses. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, we receive that call, and praise God we're saved, but that call didn't just extend to our salvation. It extended to everything about what we are to be in Christ Jesus. And we're called to be what we are according to his purpose. Now, let's turn one last place and we'll be done. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. What are we? What is God's purpose for us as believers? I know the Lord has called me to preach. You know, that's one of God's purposes for me, just like the way that the Apostle Paul, he was called to be an apostle. I'm called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to be an apostle. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to be, you know, certain things. But we are all called to some of the same things. And we see here in 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse number 14 and 15. He says here, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So we're called to live to him. Our lives are to be lived for him, not to ourselves. So that's part of the purpose, is we're to live for his purpose, aren't we? And later on, look down at verse number 18 in the same chapter. He says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And he did that through the gospel, right? And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We've got the ministry of reconciliation. That's not just to preachers. I mean, that was to the Corinthian church too. It's to us too. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that to be about? About getting the gospel the same way that we were reconciled unto the Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been we're to carry out the task of getting the gospel to a lost and dying world. Look at verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, will you carry that word to folks and say, look, hey, the good news is God's made a way for you to not have to pay for your sins. He's made a way for you to get to heaven. Amen. And he wants to reconcile. You know, you're at odds with him. You're enmity with him. But he wants you to be reconciled to him through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Paul was an ambassador. The Corinthian Christians were to be ambassadors. It's part of our calling in Christ as believers. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ did, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the gospel is the basis of our calling. It was the basis of Paul's calling as an apostle. It's the basis of the calling of all believers, including those in the Roman church and us, to God's purpose in saving us, which is more than just carry us to heaven. It's to be ambassadors for him. Amen. Are you an ambassador for the Lord? Are you a good ambassador? Are you representing him well? I trust that you are. We got some other things we're going to take a look at here, but don't have time to dig into them tonight. We're going to take a look at the basis of some other things there, and I trust that you'll join us for that. Amen. Let's pray.